Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
First Peter chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. It's interesting, but the fact is that every newspaper, magazine, and the news website has a section on health. How to stay healthy, how to get healthy, how to be healthy, how to live healthy. You are health. And typically it centers on two things. Your diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. What you're eating, what you're not eating. Now I was contemplating and putting this final touches on this message this morning. My wife, we had our grandkids over and she went to get donuts for the girls. Now, she knows not to ask me one. Now, yesterday we had the men's, and how we kicked it off was what men's usually do. We have donuts and coffee. So I was very good. I didn't really just cut off a piece of a donut. And I was like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm going to be strong. And then when they were leaving, I said, please take the donuts. I don't want to take them home with me. Well, this morning there was two donuts up there. And I encouraged my wife, just give them those donuts. No, because they have to have the sprinkles on it. Without the sprinkles, they will not eat the donuts. So I go up there and they all have donut all over their face. My wife too, partaking in the donuts that she bought for herself. I look over and I see those two donuts there. And one of them, a jelly donut, was almost calling out my name. Luke. Luke. I said, no, jelly donut, I am not going to answer you. But I did what you should not do. I went over to look inside the bag. To fill the donut to see if it was still fresh. So I squeezed it, and it did kind of like the dough boy. Ooh! I said, well, one little bite's not going to hurt anything. So I took a bite, and I discovered that it was good. But I didn't get any of the jelly. You know how they'd always do that? They shoot the jelly on one side. The other side, there's nothing. So I had to turn around, find the hole, and bit into where the jelly was. And I have to tell you, it was good. So then I took another bite and then finally just said, you know what, I'll just have to deal with this later. And at my age, I will have to deal with that later, one way or another. Because again, I have to watch what I eat, because what I eat ends up watching me. Or becoming a part of me in a way that I don't want to discuss. But the point is health is a very key to our lives. And it continues to be so, especially as you get older. Now they're discovering that vaping, of course, is not good for your health, which is kind of like, duh. But still, you wonder, what makes a church healthy? Strong. Well, Peter's going to help us. The title of this message really is how a church can get healthy and stay healthy. Now remember, the church is being persecuted. They're being ran ragged, if you will. All over the place. Now, Peter is going to give them, I believe, seven things here to help them to be healthy. Because if you're running ragged, you need to stay healthy. And anybody that runs knows you need to eat to stay healthy and to drink plenty. Well, that's where we find ourselves. And before we get started, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. We just pray that your word would get in our heart. Help us to understand what it means to be healthy as a body, but also some of these things can truly be used in our relationships with others. So bless this time, Father, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We find ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to just look at verses 8 through 11. So let's start at 8. And above all things, that means above or before all things, have a fervent love for one another. Now that word fervent means to be stretched out. And Weiss says the idea is that of a love that is extended to reach the one loved. It is an act of one who is, instead of living for self-centeredness, gives of himself to others. So it's a love that's being stretched out, if you will. And that word love, of course, is the word that comes from agape. Agape love. It's that otherworldly love. It's that love that God, wait a minute, before you go away, I don't have that unworldly love. Yes, you do. You have that divine love in you. Because Romans 5:5 says that God's love has been poured out in you. We just sang a song and it reminded me of, and I don't remember the theologian's name, but a very famous theologian of the past, very well known and very loved and admired man, was asked, of all your studying in the Word of God, what is the one kernel of truth that still blows you away? And he sang that song. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. You are loved. I'm loved. Now, there's a love that God is pouring forth in us that He desires not to stay stagnant, but to pour forth. Now, how that love again is exposed, we'll see. But again, just so you know, the first thing that we must understand in a healthy church is that love must be stretched to love everyone. In fact, Jesus said it this way, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies. Do good to those. Lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So a love, again, for a church and for a body and for a healthy body is to cover that love with everyone. To realize that when you walk in this building or just being amongst Christian brothers and sisters and even the world is that God wants you to stretch out of yourself. See, if it's myself, it's hard. It's hard to be able to love others on your own strength. Again, the point here is that you have an agape love. Use that love. Be stretched out in that love. Now, if you notice, it means this. Look at verse 8 again. Above all things, first and foremost, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, that word cover means to hide, means to hinder the knowledge of a thing. So love is demonstrated in two ways, I believe, here. One is that love does not broadcast other people's sins and failures and shortcomings. Or, if you will, number two, for a healthy church, does not gossip. Doesn't sit there and talk evil of others. For a healthy church. And we're careful, too, because when we do prayer requests, it's not to get the latest tidbits. To understand only the knowledge that we need to be able to pray for somebody accurately enough. So, again, it's not to gossip, but it also means something else, if you will. It means this. It means a love that covers the little shortcomings and failures and irritations. A word misspoken of others. This doesn't take away the fact if a brother or sister sins against us blatantly and needs to be confronted, then of course, but do it in the biblical fashion, right? Go to that brother in love and ask them again in their own understanding of what they did wrong. Oh, it doesn't also mean if somebody's in a blatant sin is to cover it. That's not what it means here. But what it means, if you will, it's just the little things that happens, even in a church, that you come in here and somebody's frazzled and you say hello to them, they don't say hi back. And you're thinking, wow. And then maybe they said something that seemed kind of curt, and you're like, wait a minute. Instead of just accepting that, absorbing that, step back and say, all right, Lord, help me not to judge this person, because maybe they didn't get any sleep last night, because the kids were up all night. Or maybe they just got some bad news. Or maybe they're just going through a real hard time. See, we're quick to judge, and it's for a healthy church is to understand, you know what? Personality is sometimes doing a clash. But that doesn't take away from the truth that you're imperfect too. And sometimes your personality is irritating. I know that sounds a shocker, but it's the truth. So see, love manifested, it really, in a church is, again, just being able to just let things go. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Loving one another. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? Because I'll tell you what, I'm sure glad Jesus loves me. One of the things that I look forward to, and I'm sure you do too, is when I get to heaven, I'm going to be perfect. I'm leaving the old guy behind. I could just look at Jesus and go, I'm home! And he welcomes me. Because see, he sees us as that person complete. And so like Peter's encouraging these believers to say, look, just let it go. If it's something that needs to be confronted, then confront it, but do it in love. So again, we see something here. We see again, the love must be stretched out and covering everyone. But it's a love that's not prone to gossip, especially the little tidbits. And it's a love that you will give the benefit of the doubt. That you know you're loved here. It's kind of like a family, if you will. It is a family. You start to know your kids. You know how they act when they don't have enough sleep. When they've had too much sugar. Right? When somehow they slipped into your caffeinated drink, unknown by you, except afterwards you see them bouncing off the walls. Is to see these things. To understand. That God loves them, in this case, loves each of us, as much as He loves us. Because God's love covers all. Isn't that great? I think it's wonderful news. But now let's look in verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The hospitable word means friendly to strangers, because at this time, basically, if you will, brothers and sisters would travel, and a lot of them were forced to travel, and there wasn't hotels and places to stay, so basically, it's be hospitable to those, but also hospitable to, if you will, just people that are in need, or to one another. It's, if you will, it's welcoming. Welcoming the stranger. Welcoming those people that you don't click with. It's being hospitable to all. It's a welcoming heart. It's a covering heart, but it's a welcoming heart. It's not saying, okay, I did my duty by saying, good morning, but it's investing. It's investing in people's lives. And see, as a body, that's what's important for us, is regardless who you feel closest to, that does not keep you from the fact that you need to stretch your love over everyone. And it should be really a priority for all of us is to go to the ones that normally we don't talk to. And start investing in them. Your love. Of allowing God to use you. Remember whose love truly it is. It's God's love and He desires to fill us and pour forth through us. It's a wonderful thing and it's a challenge for all of us that you can never outgive God. Just when you think you can't love enough, God will give you even more love. Isn't that great news? See, we see that it's a love that needs to cover, a love that doesn't gossip. It's a love that gives people the benefit of the doubt, but it's also a love that welcomes. Welcomes everyone and anyone. Now let's look at verse 10. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. Without grumbling. You know what that word means? Oh, boy, this is convicting. To all of us, what is it? It means murmuring to yourself. It doesn't even mean complaining to somebody else. It means murmuring to yourself, because who hears you? I mean, let's draw this back, because really what God's saying is this through Peter. He's saying, wait a minute, I've forgiven you everything! My love has covered your sin completely! What are you murmuring about? Well, it's something that we all have to be careful with, huh? But again, it's the idea of the heart attitude here, of receiving what God has done in our hearts and just sharing that love with others. Now, let's look at verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Now, understand this. This is a gift that's given by God, given by the Holy Spirit. Understand this also, that each one has a spiritual gift. John MacArthur puts it this way, a spiritual gift is graciously given, supernaturally designed, ability granted to every believer by which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ. That word, gift, there, is charisma. It's free. It cannot be earned. It cannot be worked up. It's received. Do you know that God has given you a supernatural spiritual gift? What is yours? Do you know how to help that come out? That you can discover what it is? Well, first, let's back this up. Let's understand it's given by God. It's received by the believer. Not to glorify themselves, but to minister and to serve others. It's a gift that for God's use, for God's glory, for His use in God's house with God's people. For the edification and the building up of us, each other. Your gift helps encourage and strengthen and build up the faith and health of this body and the body of Christ. Your gift. So what is your gift? How do you know what your gift is? Now, it's not what this message is about. And further on, we will have a message about that. So I'm going to do this really simple. I'm giving you an answer, but I'm not going to go in big detail. There was in the early church a problem. The problem was is that some felt like they were not getting their share of the food that was needed, especially with the widows and the orphans. It wasn't being distributed properly. And the church was growing big. Remember the first day they grew to 3,000. I mean, it was a big group of people. So they were on the disciples. Hey, this isn't fair. What are we supposed to do about it? You know how we are as people. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Well, the apostle said, look, our job is to be in God's Word and to pray and to feed you. Now, what we need to do here is go amongst yourselves and pick those who are full of the Holy Spirit. And have good reputation. Have them serve the tables. Now I want you to think about this. The first, if you will, young, gifted people in the church, because you have your apostles here, weren't called to go preach, go lead worship, go become the Sunday school coordinator, or, you know, the whole list of things you can say. No, what they were to do was go serve the tables. Go serve. Hey gang, I'm going to tell you something that is hard, but it's the truth. You want to know God's gift? Then make yourself available to God. Because if you know anything about these men, God used them differently. For Stephen, his life was cut short, but whoa, what a lie. Just move. So the first thing you do, if you will, is ask God, what is the gifts you want to use through me? Because I have found this to be true, gang. God doesn't just gift you typically with just one gift. If you're available, He'll use you in other areas that you don't think your giftings are. He just wants you to be available to Him, a tool in His hand. And part of that is understanding that we're in submission. We are a tool in His hand. And so submission is, here's God's body, use me. How do you want to use me, Lord? You put me in the position you want me to be in. And I know, I've learned this personally, is that when you make yourself available, all of a sudden God starts stretching you and putting you in places, putting you in on your heart, to do things normally you would never do. You want me to do what? And then when you open yourself available, understanding that you can't do it without Him, guess what He does? He does it through you. So it's to be open to whatever God wants to do in your life. And it may be leading two little boys to the restroom. That is a gifting. Actually, I don't want to confuse spiritual gifts. But anyway, it's to use those gifts again in the body. It's to bless others. It's to reveal God's many manifold grace, which many facets, diversity. God's grace is so diverse, it's so multicolored, that it's the beautiful thing of allowing God's grace. We always think God's grace is, again, the grace given to us through the cross. Well, it's more than that. It's the grace God gives you every day. It's the grace God gives you to use you. It's God's grace in calling you His child. It's God's grace in so many different facets. As you see, as you live your life, you see these multicolored facets. So basically what we're doing here, gang, is saying, God, I've put you in a box and I put myself there and said, you know what, I can't do this, I can't do that, so you can't do it either. But now what we're doing is we're opening the box saying, God, you made me. You know what I'm made for. Use me. Even if it scares me to death, use me. Even if it bores me to tears at first, use me. Whatever you desire, just use me. And you know, I know since we're a mobile church right now, I know a lot of people do. Somebody pulls down the shade, everybody puts up the chairs, and there's certain people that typically always take it back. That's serving the Lord. And that's being open to God's grace and His ministry in and through you. Isn't that wonderful? So we see that love is manifested through this and the giftings that God has given to you. And if you want a little more detail, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read Romans chapter 12, and you'll see a different categorization of. So we see that we're using our gifts. Look at verse 11 now. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now that word oracle is a derivative of the word logos, which is the word of God. The word of God, listen now, for a church to be healthy, for a church to be strong, for the church to be able to edify, and to manifest God's grace and wisdom, then that church must be a church that reads, studies, and teaches the Word of God. There is no shortcuts, gang. If any church is doing it in such a way that's bringing joy and peace and happiness to its congregation without the wisdom, without the understanding, without the teaching of the Word of God, then it's going to blow away. The Word of God is so essential. It's so important. Paul said this to Timothy. He said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. To the Thessalonians, he said, for this reason also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is truth. The word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. See, the Word of God is changing us. Not the Word itself. Understand, the breathing Word of God, inspired by God, taught and ministered to us, 1 John 2:27, by the Holy Spirit is instructing us. And God talk. See, if we're going to talk about ourselves, and it's just ourselves, we're going to get depressed here. It's going to become self-centered. The gifts, again, it's just shortcomings here, because, again, I'm going to look at myself and what I can and cannot do. But if I'm open to God and I'm open to His Word, then something begins to happen. I begin to change my thought process. I begin to see God differently. I don't leave God in a box. So many of us, our struggles is we see God too small. If you have a problem now that you're struggling with, your God is too small. If a lot of the things that we're talking about here seems like undoable, your God is too small. That God takes His Word and He uses us, not only as we learned in Romans, that that's how faith begins, is by the Word of God, but also we understand something else, that we're taught how to be followers of Jesus Christ by the Word. That's why the instruction is, the doctrine, and everything else that goes that Paul is telling Timothy, but also there's a work that's being done inside us. That's the blessing of it. So believe it or not, when you're sitting here and you're at least reading and hearing the Word of God, something's happening in you. God's Spirit is moving and working. That's a beautiful thing. And to cut that out? What was us? Because again, we're talking about a healthy church here, aren't we? But notice here too, the last point is this. In all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So now we go back to not only using the gifts, but just ministering, of serving, of doing whatever we do. If we do it for ourselves or for our own self-glory, then we've missed out on something not only that's key, but it's going to be short-lived. No, I see, everything must be done for Him and through Him and by Him. Everything. Whether it is taking a boy to the restroom, or whether it's leading worship, or whether it's teaching a Sunday school, whether it's picking up the chairs, all to the service of the Lord. All for what? For His, again, look at the remaining part of this, which God supplies, and in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, the dominion, the power forever and ever. Amen. All things. So again, we're beginning to understand something. This is God's church. Just as every Christian church here that's following Christ is God's church. Now, I hate to say that there are churches now that are pretty much just like it says in Revelation, have left out the Lord. And the Lord's outside knocking on the door. But if we are again going to be a healthy church, then we're always going to be open for God's moving in us, through us, to each other, for the edification, for the buildup of God's church. In fact, Colossians 3:16, which is a wonderful verse, says it this way: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one to another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then it's a constant growth, constant movement. See, a body, and this is something I just discussed with somebody just the other day, actually yesterday, is not an organization, it's an organism. But it's alive not because it's just you and me, it's alive because the Spirit of the living God is inside you, is inside me. And do you know what the Holy Spirit desires to do as for any body of believers, and really for the whole body of believers in Christ in the world, is to join us together as one. With one purpose. One purpose, to glorify Jesus Christ, who shall reign forever and ever and ever. To show that a body of people can live together in peace and harmony, in love, not because the world's saying we just need to love each other. And that's what you keep on hearing. We just need to be acceptable. We just need to love each other. Who's love? And what's that love based on? What I can get from you? What I can get out of this? What I think is good and holy and right? Because then if I do that, then it becomes, if you will, kiltered. It becomes foggy. Becomes confusing. Abstract. But see, when you get a body of believers together, allowing God's Spirit to do His work in us, allowing that body to take the Word of God so that the Spirit can work in us, each the truths of God, revealing the multicolored, beautiful facets and the wonder of who God is. So that nothing we can do except stand up and praise God. That His love covers all of our sins. So why can't we love each other? Accept each other. Help each other. Edify each other. Let the giftings of God be used in His body so the world can see really what it means for a body of believers, a group of people, to really love one another. Did I mention that it's God's love? in and through us. So, quickly. Seven things again. Remember, love covers all. Love does not gossip. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Love is welcoming. Love is giving of yourself what God has given you, not hoarding it. Love is also teaching, instructing, talking about the Word of God. When somebody comes to you in need, I hope you're the mindset of thinking, what words minister best at this point? God, what of your words do I need to share? Because again, the Word is a powerful thing. Last, it's whatever we do, regardless of what that is for His glory. Not to be seen by others. Not to make a light shine on us and go, look what I'm doing. I'm cleaning up the kids' puke. Come on, that's got to give me points here, right? Somebody look at this. No, stand back. I'll clean up that puke. Alicia could have came walking in. Yeah, I'm taking somebody's kids to the bathroom. She didn't do that because she didn't have to. Those kids going clunk, clunk, clunk. You all turned around and looked. You don't have to do that. It's knowing that God sees. And you're doing it for Him. Not for God to be saying, oh, good boy. Oh, look at that. He's cleaning up the puke and it's got corn in it. No, He's not doing that. But what He is doing is saying, sorry for that visual. I've cleaned up a lot in my life, trust me. But it's the understanding that God looks at you and says, you're doing it. Let me give you more strength. Let me help you to understand my love more. As He's changing us more and more into His image. How wonderful. So, again, as we looked over these things, look through them. Again, I encourage you, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pray through it. Read Romans chapter 12. Pray through it. But do me a favor, don't forget 1 Corinthians 13, because above all these things, love one another. Father, we just thank You for Your love and Your patience for us. We thank You for Your kindness too. We thank You, You don't murmur over us, goodness. We thank You, Lord, that Your love always covers a multitude of our sins. Pray, Lord, help us to learn these things. As Your truth comes in, Lord, we just pray that, again, we would chew on these truths, that we'd meditate on them. Help us to be a people of Your Word. Help us also be a people that serve You for Your glory, for Your purpose, and for the edification of others. So Lord, we just lift this morning up to You. Just pray for Your blessing upon the rest of this worship time. And Lord, we ask these things all in Jesus' name, to whom belong the glory, to the dominion, and the power forever. Amen.